Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest breaking news stories. An outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for your company. I really appreciate you joining me. Lots and lots to talk about. Front pages of pretty much all the newspapers are all about the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral. All those figures and details and plans released yesterday at about 5 o'clock so that everyone can know in advance what the plan is for the funeral. There will, of course, be a minute silence at 3 o'clock for the Duke of Edinburgh. And a lot of the front pages very much focusing on the Brothers Apart is the headline of the Daily Mail, and Brothers at Arm's Length is the Sun, and other papers obviously going very much along that line of coverage. Greenshill lobbying affair, an awful lot of coverage there, largely inside the papers. Also going to be talking about Russia and action being taken by the West, not just over cyber attacks, but concern, of course, over what's happening in terms of troops amassing on the border of Ukraine. Big primary school day for a lot of people. If your kids are going off to primary school, you'll find out what places they have got, whether they've got into school you wanted, and as we mentioned a bit earlier, big battles over a caterpillar-shaped cake as well. And we're also going to be talking quite a lot about vaccine passports, the campaign largely actually being led by the hospitality industry against vaccine passports very much kicks up apace. So all of that to talk about, and all of it to talk about, including with my next guest. You know him well. Every Friday morning, I'm delighted to welcome comedian Dave Chawner to the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Absolutely lovely to hear that voice. Fantastic. On a beautiful day, I've just tweeted out, as I often do, extraordinary sunrise photo from where we are in central London. Absolutely, it's just stunning, stunning morning. Hoping we are going to have a nice weekend. A lot of people, of course, going to the pub for the first time this weekend, sitting outside, of course. I was delighted to see, Dave, after you gave me, you know, the day, weeks, days, hours and minutes countdown to pubs reopening, though you weren't able to join us on Monday when we had Mike Graham's show from the and various other shows during the day from the pub here in London Bridge. But you did send me a picture and you looked a very happy boy with your pint.
Yeah, I thought it was my civic duty to go there and spend money and enjoy. And it was fun, although it was a little bit colder than I'd want. I really want global warming to hurry up.
I'm totally with you on that one. I don't think it does upset the wokesters if you say that, but I really do want global warming to hurry up. I wore a lot of coats. Well, I mean, tomorrow, obviously, there's another day when a lot of people will be outside. A lot of people are going to be out to the shops. They're going to be out. It's first Saturday that people can go to the shops. A lot of people are going to be out in the pubs and out in the bars and restaurants sitting outside on a cold day. But of course, an awful lot of focus is going to go on the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral and the arrangements for that. What do you make of the coverage today? Dukes to be kept apart at the royal funeral. We're told Duke of Cambridge, Duke of Sussex going to walk together behind the Duke of Edinburgh's coffin. In fact, virtually all of the wedding party will be walking behind the coffin, being borne in a Land Rover, partly designed by the Duke of Edinburgh, which I think is lovely, lovely, lovely touch as it arrives at St George's Chapel in Windsor tomorrow. But of course, this brings back, you know, massive memories, doesn't it, of that horrific funeral in 1997 of Diana, who you know, did not survive to, you know, 99 years of a life well led and taken far too young. But they were just 15 and 12. I mean, goodness me, they looked so much younger, didn't they, walking behind that coffin. Absolutely heartbreaking for anyone to see. They will walk behind a coffin again, but they're going to be kept apart. They're going to have Peter Phillip, walking between them. What do you make of that?
I don't really make that much, to be honest, because to be honest, even if they were walking side by side, you know that the headlines would be Harry and William next to each other, but not talking, you know, despite it being a funeral procession.
And you're not supposed to be, yeah.
You know, I do think it is one of those things that, like, actually, when these sort of things happen, I think everything has to be suspended and you've got to do your duty to pay your respects. So personally, I don't think there's that much to read into it, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got to remember the royal correspondents, that's literally their livelihood, reading stuff into this. I mean, I wouldn't have thought there was much to discuss on this. If it was the fact that, you know, every front page of every national newspaper seems to think it is a very, very big issue. Look, there is the thing that every family has gone through this, whether it's the wedding plans or whether it's the funeral plans, you know, whether it allowed 30 guests or 800 guests, as Prince Philip, of course, had planned before COVID. You know, there are going to be, you know, who's invited, who's not invited, who sets to who. I mean, you know, we do family Christmas meals. There's a lot of multi-divorces in our family. I'm telling you, there's a seating plan that needs to be adhered to for everyone to be happy. I mean, not that everyone have a problem, but, you know, but you just make it easier for people. And so, I mean, this is where we're going to be as well with this. But there is a thing, you know, we've got to remember, you know, a couple of months ago, it feels like a lifetime ago, Prince Harry went on television with his wife and accused senior members of the royal family of being racist. We don't know who, because the finger was just pointed at everybody. At least own it and name names if you're going to make that accusation. And now he's going to be, you know, in a chapel and walking about a coffin with those other 29 members of the family. And we know, you know, at least one of them there is someone who's accused of racism. You can understand a certain froidure there.
Oh, completely. I mean, it did make me laugh yesterday when a lot of the coverage was all about Harry being stripped of his military titles. And I thought, you know, well, actually, a lot of the tabloids have given him a whole range of titles. None of them are broadcastable. And that's why they're going to be wearing suits at the funeral. What people haven't told you is I bet you a fiver that they're actually going to be hazmat suits to just protect people from COVID.
It's all going to be very serious and very somber. And but again, the fact that there has been this row, and I have a few people on social media saying, oh, well, the media's manufactured this row. They haven't. This is a very real row that's happened in the royal family. The correspondents who are writing about this are people who are very well informed with very good sources. Prince Andrew wanted to wear a naval uniform. He wasn't actually officially entitled to the full admiral uniform, which he didn't get because of his relationship with Jeffrey Goldstein. I mean, the whole thing is very complicated. And of course, Harry losing his titles. These are two young men who kind of brought this on themselves and have brought it into their father and grandfather's funeral. I mean, I'm sorry, tacky beyond belief. Making anything about someone's funeral about you is tacky and bad form.
Yeah, I agree. But I suppose the argument could there go is, have they made it about them? I mean, I haven't really seen too much about them sort of talking about this. I feel like
No, we never hear them saying it apart from they do an Oprah Winfrey interview. But the when you get these sources, we're often told this is all tittle-tattle. Yeah, when the books are written and you discover it's all come from the princes themselves, trust me, these are reliable. I know the journalists writing these stories, they know their stuff, I can assure you. Let's talk about other things. Let's talk about Greensill, though. That's the other big story that's been going on. We've now got 7 separate inquiries into the Greensill affair, not specific just into Greensill, but into all the different lobbying links that are going on. 22 business people are currently in a similar role in Number 10 or somewhere in senior levels of government as Lex Greensill was when he was working in 2014 for David Cameron, where they've got this sort of privileged access, treated as civil servants, able to go to all these meetings, be privy and influence decisions, whilst at the same time making a load of money in the private sector. I've got no problem with them making a load of money in the private sector, but this dual role, very difficult, as we saw with Lex Greensill. And indeed with Bill Crothers, the senior civil servant who worked for 3 months for the Greensill company at the same time as being in charge of a £40 billion budget to actually do deals with the private sector. We've now got Matt Hancock, the health secretary, story in Sky News, that he has shares in a company called Topwood Limited. He's got 15% shares there. It's a waste disposal company. His sister is a major shareholder and they've won 2 contracts worth £300,000 from NHS Wales. He doesn't have influence influence over what NHS Wales does, but they're also in line to get contracts with NHS England, which of course he does as Health Secretary. We've also got the deadline today for all civil servants to declare their conflicts of interest, if there are any. And yesterday we had Lord Eric Pickles. He's the chair of the committee which vets appointments of senior ministers and officials, and he advises on what jobs they can go to afterwards, basically sort of saying, you know, he'd never seen anything like it. The plot is definitely thickening, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. And I think when we're finding out about all of these separate jobs that they've had, I mean, I'm very surprised that David Cameron doesn't work in recruitment, because he seems very good at getting people other jobs. You know, he's not going to work in reputation management, though, is he? You know, so I do think it is one of those things that actually I feel like this makes people angry. Like, I get angry about this. Of course you're going to offer jobs to people that you know and trust, but we're not talking about, you know, tarmacking someone's drive here. These are potentially hundreds of millions of pounds of contracts that are being handed out on public money.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the key thing here. I mean, it is perfectly possible for people to have feet in both camps, but where there is a conflict of interest, where, for instance, you know, you're responsible for getting the best value for money for taxpayers spending money, spending, you know, our hard-earned cash, and at the same time you are standing to do, you make money out of it. Now, often what's happening is you get people who work in the high-level civil service or as ministerial jobs where they don't make money out of it at the time. They haven't got any shares in it or anything. But then, you know, a year or so later, they have a job where they're now an advisor to this company. And they're, of course, people are going to use their experience. And if you're working in, say, you know, the health sector, and why not hire a former health minister or a health civil servant who can help advise you on that? That would make sense. Apart from the fact that, well, how many of these deals are implicit in the sort of, don't worry, when you left office a couple of years, we'll do you right, Mr. Smith. You know, I mean, that is the concern, isn't it? In particular, these accusations of Tory cronyism, these accusations that have been made that the Health Secretary Matt Hancock, you know, awarded PPE contracts to, you know, basically anyone he'd met in the pub. But the fact that he and his sister have both got shares in a company that has won contracts with NHS Wales, is it enough for him to just say, oh, it's on my registered member's interest, this was public knowledge? Is that enough? Or should someone in that sort of position simply not have shares in any company, whether it's a family business or not, which can benefit from any decisions that he makes?
Personally, I don't think you should have any shares, because then you have a vested interest in this. And one of the things that worries me about this ongoing saga is there's going to be an inquest, and then an inquest into the inquest, and an inquest into the inquests that are doing the inquest, and it goes on. And you kind of think, how much is that going to cost the public payers' money as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? And again, all these different inquiries and Treasury Select Committee, the official government one, no doubt the National Audit Office is going to launch theirs as well. An awful lot of different inquiries. And I do wonder if we'll ever get to the bottom of this. And again, is it the case that we've just got an awful lot of people who are all going to benefit from this in the future, you know, looking into themselves? And again, it's all about taxpayers getting value for money. That's the key thing there. I wonder if there'll also be an inquiry into caterpillar cakes. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments. The time now is at 6:47. This is Talk Radio.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.